Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today about our belly buttons and other things, and that you would give us a direction in terms of how we are to live our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All of life is a matter of stewardship, whether you realize that or not. It's not about giving to the church. Now, stewardship can come in a lot of different forms. All giving of money, our substance, is a matter of God trying to teach us something. And I don't think we are called on to give ourselves because God needs it, by the way. And if that's true, then all the teachings on giving in both the Old and New Testaments and Jesus' teachings on giving are really about something, how we're to live our lives. And so today I want to look at six verses in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, that contain considerable wisdom. And they end with some wisdom on giving as well. So read with me Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, which you have printed in your bulletin. Here we go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, I want you to notice in these three verses a summons to not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't think of things like the world sees things or how you want to think about them from a strictly human point of view. It's kind of like the teacher told the student, I knew you were going to get A's when I found out you were grading your own papers. Of course, we all get A's, don't we? Because we grade our own papers. This scripture says, don't rely on your own understanding and don't be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't grade your own papers and don't grade other people's papers and lies based on your grading system either. Basically, this passage is saying there is a way of thinking that just comes kind of naturally to us, intuitively, in our fallen condition as people in this world. But be very careful about that, because it's false in a lot of ways. The admonition, the teaching which the scripture leads us towards, is that we should listen to the Lord's way of thinking about life and do it His way, and we'll be okay then. Now, I could spend a whole message just talking about doing it God's way instead of your way. But the message for today is using this truth kind of as a backdrop for the rest of it. It's one thing for us to experience salvation. That's where you come to know, get into that personal relationship with Jesus as your Savior. But then we begin to learn how to walk our lives with Jesus, not only as Savior, but as Lord, who we follow and listen to so that we can walk in the Lord's ways. Now, this is very difficult at times. There are so many things in this life that work against growing in the faith and the way that God sees the world and how we're to live. We get bewildered by our own self-centered, selfish nature. We get distracted by the world around us all the time. And sometimes Satan does a number on it if our lights get too bright, you might say. Anyway, these three verses are kind of like a backdrop to today's message. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't trust your own thinking. Trust in the Lord. Read His word. Follow it. Have a healthy respect for your Creator and your Redeemer. Don't do bad things. And when you do, then good things begin to happen to you. Okay, let's read verse 8. Here we go. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now, as you notice up here that there's two other words that are in there, navel and medicine. Well, the literal translation for this verse is it will be healing to your belly button and medicine to your bones. That's what it really says in Hebrew. Now, doesn't that just bless your socks right off? If you trust the Lord and live life His way, don't trust your own thinking, don't rely on your own understanding, then God will bless your belly button. Now, I want you to know that if God is going to bless belly buttons, you can count on me to be first in line. I mean, I want my belly button blessed. What does it mean? What is this verse? Well, God is going to heal and bless your belly button and give medicine to your bones. Well, it's poetic visual picture here of the writer saying that there is a very close relationship. Now, I want you to think about it. There's a very close relationship between mother and child in the womb. And then that birth that occurs. And our relationship to God is just as connected as a mother to her child in the womb through the umbilical cord if we live connected to Him. And that relationship also lends strength to our bones, by the way, which cause us to stand and live this life. Now, in other words, God is the provision for everything that we need while we are going through this world in preparation for the next one. Kind of like a mother is the provision for that child when that child is in the womb. And a whole message could be spent on that relationship, but that's all I want to say about God blessing our belly buttons. But think about the relationship, mother to child. Okay, let's read verses 9 and 10. Here we go. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Let me point out a couple of things here. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Two things. We are dealing with something that is that has substance. It's tangible, it's physical, and it's of this world. And there's a blessing that goes with this giving, and it is increase. That's the blessing. The barns are full, the provisions are plentiful. In most of our cases, it will be financial because we're not farmers. We got a couple of farmers in this congregation, but for most of us, we're not farmers. When it comes to first fruits and farming, most of us are kind of like the young man who was majoring in agriculture in college, and he went to this farm where he's going to do some field work and experimental work, and the old-fashioned methods that he was noticing on the farm made him laugh. And he pointed to a fruit tree, and he said to the farmer, he says, with the watering pattern that you're using out here, you're not going to get 10 pounds of apples from that tree. And the farmer said, I don't get any apples from that tree. It's a pear tree. Most of us are kind of like that when it comes to farming. First fruits has to do with the beginning of the harvest. Today, for most of us, that's money instead of grain. That's the way it works. Today, I want to deal with this principle of giving first fruits. You can take it from there and do what you want. Now, the question we must first really resolve is to whom all these things, this stuff, this money we have belongs to. It is impossible to talk about anything in the realm of giving, from tithes to offerings to use of talents that we have, unless we settle one thing first. It is the fundamental principle, which is this: everything that we have belongs to the Lord. Everything that we have is intended to glorify the Lord in some form or fashion. Now, that principle is established in Scripture, and everybody that knows Jesus as Savior and is in that process of making Him Lord knows that truth. I also know that if Jesus is not your Savior and Lord of your life, you're not going to hear me at all, you won't believe me, and that's okay, because these things are really discerned spiritually. If you're not in relationship with the Lord, none of it makes sense anyway. You look at a scripture like this in Proverbs, and it's just so much drivel. The problem, though, is if you don't receive it as God's word, you won't get your belly button blessed, and your bones won't get any medicine to make them strong. So, here's the principle. Everything that I have comes from God. It belongs to Him, even though He has given it to me to function with and to take care of in this world. I am a steward of what belongs to Him. And I want to have Him be glorified through my living. So according to God's way of things, we are to honor Him with first fruits of all our produce. Now there are two words in the Old Testament that are translated first fruits. And if you don't know what they are, then you don't kind of get the answer to what's going on here. Each of these words carries within it a different idea. They mean essentially the same thing, but they have to be interpreted because they convey a different aspect of what first fruits really are. The first word for first fruits is the Hebrew word bekur, and I have a little thing down on the bottom under the scriptures on that stuff. Bekur, which means as the first child bursts forth from the womb. That's what it means. And it conveys also the idea that this child carries with it birthrights because it is firstborn. So in a sense, Bekur raises the promise that this is just the beginning. And there's going to be more to come. And everybody gets excited about that. This use of the word first fruits is when the first child is born. The first cow, the first lamb, the first fruit, the first grain, the first money, the first sale, whatever. You know, the Lord basically says that there's going to be more kids because God says this is just the beginning of the flow of life happening towards you and through you. Bekur also has the promise of birthright, which means you don't just get blessed at the beginning. You're going to be blessed continually through the family relationship and the blessing of God's grace as it flows through this. So the principle of first fruits giving is a concept about promise. There is a promise that this is only the beginning. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your produce. There's a powerful faith statement that's right there if taken to heart. It's the start of blessing. Our problem is that almost all of us relate to increase like it is the end. Instead of abundant thinking, we live in what is called deprivation thinking. We are very inclined to relate to increase as if it were the end. We say, I've got to be careful with this because I don't know if there's going to be any more where this comes from. And that's our problem from the very beginning, and we all deal with this stuff. I remember when my son John was, 3 or 4 years old. He always wanted to save some of his drink at the movies and some of the candy from Halloween because there's never going to be any more. That was his world thinking at the time. And that's our problem also a lot of times. We can't share because there may not be enough for me. And we block the possibility of sharing our life, our stuff, our money. We don't think abundantly. We have deprivation thinking. Now, remember the words at the beginning of this scripture. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't rely on your own understanding of life. Trust the Lord. Those are the words that go before these words. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your produce. Now, our response to these words will be based on a number of things. The first thing we need to decide about is Bekur. Is this the end or the beginning? And am I going to relate to this substance of mine and what I produce as an end or a beginning? First fruits means that I believe that this is the first. This is just the start of something. This is not the only fruits. This is not the last fruits. This is the first fruits. So we decide if that is the way the Lord is speaking promise, but we have problems with fear. Oh, let me tell you, we're a very fearful bunch. The problem for most of us is not Scrooge stinginess. We are afraid that there just won't be enough. Most of us are tainted by that fear. Some of us are downright ruled by that fear. Think about this. Let's say you receive, it's tax season's over. I hear we actually get to keep the money after, May 15th or something like that? But let's say you receive a tax refund of $100 you weren't expecting. Is it possible that the Lord might bring you to a point where you say, go ahead and give it all? And you could do it, and it wouldn't even bother you. But He is not likely to do that if you are wrestling with fear, because the Lord does not come to scare you. He comes to release you from being afraid. Sometimes he pushes on us to trust him to do an act of faith so we can learn to trust a little bit more down the road so we can get an even greater act of faith down the road. It's amazing how cautious we can play it, though. Just like my son. I remember. I want to say, trust in the Lord, John, with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding of life at this point in time. There will be more Coke and candy. Trust me on this. But, you know, we're a lot like that, actually. What's the word for you? What are you trusting your own insight and understanding for? Where are you wise in your own eyes? The Lord does not make us stewards and ask for gifts from us to penalize us. What the Lord wants us mostly to be free of is fear in our lives, and fear creeps out far more in our response to our possessions than in any other way. That's what possessiveness really is. It's an expression of deep-seated fear that we have. Bikur, first fruits, has to do with the first from the womb and the promise of more to come. The second word used for first fruits is the word reshith in Hebrew, which means first in rank and priority. This is the word that says it belongs to the Lord first. So first fruits is not only a matter of saying there's more to come, but it's also a matter of priority. And a lot of you know about priorities in order from your banquet experience. First fruits is a matter of priority. And that makes it important stuff. In fact, that makes it headquarters subject matter as far as the Lord is concerned. The first fruits are the Lord's, so the first fruits with which I honor the Lord from all my produce suddenly becomes something that is very powerfully related to my view of God's authority in my life and not just whether there's going to be more or not. Now, we don't have to give anything. You see, your salvation or my salvation is not contingent on a price tag, never has been. The price of salvation is paid. And that, so my giving has nothing to do with earning a place in God's favor. I had a place in God's favor before I ever gave a dime. I had a place in God's favor when I was still living in sin, when I was just rebellious and ignorant of Him, totally. I already had a place in God's kingdom. He already loved me. And the same is true for you. He showed His love toward me and Jesus, so my giving has nothing to do with getting God to like me more. What my giving has to do with is me and my being freed from things that trap all humanity. Nothing traps us like our fears at times, does it? And there's no more manifestation of fear that is stronger than in that realm of money that we deal with. So it's no so small wonder that God would deal with us in terms of our finances, and He makes it a matter of priority as well as firstborn. I mean, God certainly does not need the cash. Everybody agree with that? Say amen. Amen. I mean, I know we're a church like other churches. We have our annual budgets and all that stuff. And God certainly, though, does not need the cash. We function in this world as a church, and we have an operating budget. But even in this church, if we were to disappear as a church, God still doesn't need the cash to run this universe. So, if that's true, then giving is part of our relationship with God. And it's one of his methods of teaching us about giving, about ministry, about fear at the gut level. He pushes the buttons where we really live, and it is in those places that we kind of get crowded by the Holy Spirit on occasion. In order to set us free, you know, God wants to back us up against the wall occasionally So we just take a good look at ourselves so we can move into his likeness as his people. And I know this. As I said, this is a teaching. This is a learning experience too. God above everything else in his nature is essentially a giver, a lover, and one who blesses and causes us to be fruitful. He loves to bless, he loves to give, and he gives and blesses as he loves, and he wants us to learn to do the same thing with our lives and to live that way. It is such a long process, though, in most of us. The growth in giving helps break that process open a little bit. So when the Lord says, the first fruits are mine, he is saying, I want you to come into accountability about this, because while I'm not going to love you any less or any more if you do it, you're going to learn something about how I function in this world as you do it. So he calls us into accountability before his lordship. The first fruits are the Lord's. It's a matter of priority. Rashith is the Hebrew word for priority. A life lived in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit is a life that the Lord said, I'm going to make a giver out of you, and I am going to make your giving a priority. You give my life and my ministry to other people. That's the whole idea about being one of God's people in the first place. It's not just getting all warm inside, and it's just about me. It's being full of God's presence and the Holy Spirit, so the life of Jesus comes out of us towards others wherever we go, and that is directly related to first fruits and giving and all that goes with it. I'm doing a study of Nehemiah on Wednesday nights, and we're not to this part of it yet, but in the book of Nehemiah, there came a time of revival with God's people when they reestablished their worship and their relationship with God as God's people, and in the midst of that time, they made some commitments about giving and offerings. I have Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 35 to 37 printed. Let's read them together. Here we go. We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of every tree year by year to the house of the Lord. Also to bring to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law. And the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, and to bring the first of our coarse meal and our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the wine and the oil, to the priests, to the chambers of the house of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice in this passage that their giving touched every corner of their lives. They even presented their firstborn children to the Lord, not as a sacrifice, but it's a matter of presenting that child to God because of what had happened to them down in Egypt. It was a matter of bringing the first of everything, and the Lord says, I lay claim to that. The history of God laying claim to the first began when Israel was down in Egypt and they were protected from all the plagues, and then when the firstborn of all Egypt were slain because of Pharaoh's decision, their firstborn lived, and God says to them and to us also, he says, you are the people of the covenant. You are in relationship with me. And because I have spared you, how many of us have been spared from things? And how many of us have been rescued from things and redeemed from things? He says, because I have spared you and rescued you and redeemed you, therefore you are mine. We are in covenant relationship, and what you have is mine as well. And God says, I do not remind you of this to take it from you, but that you might understand that you and I are in relationship with each other, and I, who gave it to you in the first place, want to increase that in you so that each time increase comes, you're going to be able to understand where it's coming from. And when it comes to honoring God with the first fruits of all our produce, we are actually dealing with some pretty tremendous truths. First, we need to learn to rise beyond our fears, and there is no time that we are more inclined to grasp after things than when it comes to our money, obviously. Second is, there's a calling by the Lord to offer first fruits so that we make a decision as to whether we're at the beginning of something or this is just the end. And third, giving is a matter of priorities as far as God is concerned. He takes priority in terms of first fruits, and that's how we give him honor and glory that is due his name, and that's how we keep the first commandment. You know what the first commandment is? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And as we come to understand the truth and we begin to learn this stuff, the Lord, everything that I have comes from you. Everything that I have is yours. Even my talents, even my sense of understanding things. Everything that I have ought to be used to give glory to you. Teach me how to relate to everything that you give me without fear. You see, this living this life is a lifetime relationship. It's a relationship that develops. It grows. You who have ears to hear, listen. Take it to heart. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that as I give this message, the teaching that you want us to hear, for our own lives, that you would bring it forth. In Jesus' name, I ask this. Amen.